back. Good to be in church this morning. What I want to talk about this morning is something that during the revival, Brother Jared Vilkinson down in Fall Cliff preached about. And it's filling yourself with joy through the Holy Spirit. And I thought it was so good, I figured it needed to be preached twice. But I couldn't do it justice like he could, but I'm going to do best I can on it. And, we're talking about joy in the Spirit, not the flesh, not joy in the flesh, which we know most all of that is sin or leads to sin. One particular sin I want to talk about is that deprives you from joy is bitterness. Now, Wikipedia defines bitterness as resentment, negative emotion or attitude, similar to being jaded, cynical, or otherwise negatively affected by experience. Now, we'll go to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 31, and see what Paul says we should do with bitterness along with other sins and feelings, negative feelings. Ephesians. Chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 31. This is what Paul says that we should do with it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day today. And Lord, will you please guide us and may you... I know I'm just an instrument in your orchestra. So may you help me as I deliver your message. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, we know what bitterness is. We know what to do with bitterness. But why do we get bitterness? And us here in the South can be real bitter. I mean, look at the Hatfields and McCoys, for example. But, for example, say, if I did something to you, Candler, and we don't talk about it, but yet you still keep it in your mind and you keep bitterness in it. I mean, and I have no clue of it. What's that thing that Brother Josh says about bitterness? It's like you drinking the poison and waiting on somebody else to die or get sick from it. It's not helpful. But we can have bitterness from all kinds of reasons, all kinds of little things. I mean, and like I said, us here in the South, we can be bitter about just about anything, which can lead to gossip also, and it can lead to false testimonies as well. So you got to be careful. And it affects you worse than it's affecting the person that you got bitterness against.
Amen.
So, I mean, the best thing to do is get rid of it. One thing that Brother Jared said, bitterness can be understandable. Like, I can understand why you're bitter against so-and-so because they did such. It's understandable, but it's not excusable.
Right.
There's no reason to keep it, especially if it's just hurting yourself.
Amen, brother.
Now, what we ought to do, what we should do, in any sin and any problems we have, we can confess it here at the altar. But we need to forsake it out in the world. Because the world is tough and just getting worse and worse every day.
Amen.
And there's a lot of people I know, they just put that jacket of, you know, glorifying God and trying to help be righteous when they get in the church. But once they leave the church, they hang it right back up on that coat hanger next to the door.
Amen.
And they just live backslidden all week and then come back and act like everything's okay. Now, we need God just as much, if not more, out there as we do in here.
Amen. Good preaching, brother.
Thank you. And, you know, you have to, if you got bitterness against somebody, really, when you pray, you shouldn't ask God to forgive them because you got bitterness in, towards them. You should pray, forgive me for having bitterness towards them.
Amen.
Help them with whatever they need help with, but help me to not be bitter. And, you know, what would Jesus do? If you expect, if you know Jesus will forgive you for whatever you've done, shouldn't you forgive whomever for whatever they've done?
Amen.
I mean, I know sometimes it's a hard thing to do, but we gotta be humble. Now, to get joy in the Spirit, once we get rid of all that bitterness and once we get empty of all that sin and malice and strife and envy and all that, we're going to fill it back up with spiritual joy we can only get through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, first thing we got to do is renewing of the mind, which we have to do every day, every morning. Just renew your mind. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I got a couple of references on renewing of the mind. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Talking about your inward man, your saved man, your new man. Every day. We've got to renew the mind and just, I like to say goose fraba. I'm pretty sure y'all heard that off of that movie Anger Management with Adam Sandler and who else is it?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Jack Nicholson.
But, yeah, if you ever get riled up or start getting upset or angry about something, you know, I say that and it helps to renew the mind. Of course, praying is what I really mean. Just pray to help renew your mind. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Let's see. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is whenever you get saved. That's your new, saved self. When you're soul is circumcised from your body, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Now, what I learned in one of my classes is we may have, well, Christ-like mind, but we don't have His brain, if that makes sense. We may think like Christ, but we don't have His brain. Another reference would be Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There again, talking about, you know, Christ-like mind, spiritual mind. Be renewed in the spirit. So every morning when you wake up and you pray to help renew your mind, I mean, sometimes I know I've got to renew my mind more than once a day. But it helps to bring joy to your spirit. Now we're going to go into the book of Philippians here, and it's only four chapters, but I'm just going to go through a few things of it. And it's what Paul says about rejoicing, because the theme of Philippians is joy. Let's see. Which is the next book over. So, what Paul says here in chapter 1, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. So, when you pray for others, you should do it joyfully.
Amen.
You mean you want good for others, and that should, you know, help you. It should put a smile on your face.
Amen.
I mean, you should have compassion towards another. Be joyous for each other. Chapter 1, verse 18, this is whenever he sent, I take that back, I got that. Let's see, verse 18, What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul is rejoicing when Christ is preached. I mean, whenever we listen to sermons or play music or anything has to do with God and our spirit and Christianity, we ought to be rejoicing in that, even if it's a convicting thing. In verse 25 of chapter 1, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Have joy in your faith. Now, what's faith? The things that, evidence of things not seen, or how did Josh put it? Things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And in verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now that's Paul talking to those in Philippi. But yeah, your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. The more you grow in it, the more joy you should be filled with. Let's see, that was 26. All right, let's look at chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And that's talking about us as a church.
Right.
Like-minded, one accord, one mind.
Amen.
We should all have the same doctrine, the same mindset, and thank God that we all have the same opinion when it comes to our business meetings, too. Because I know there's some places I've heard that that's like a big, big dispute on what happens during the business meeting at some churches. So we should rejoice and fulfill the joy of being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, which is through Jesus Christ, of one mind. Now, let's look at verse 16 of chapter 2. We'll read 16 to 18. Holding forth the word of life, which is this right here. This is holding forth the word of life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Now, when he says the day of Christ, he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, I believe. Because that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And what he's saying there is the works that you do here, it's not for your salvation. The works that you do here is because of your salvation.
Amen.
That's why what you do here, you'll rejoice in the day of Christ. Just don't do it. Don't run in vain or labor in vain. Now, the Armenians, if you go back to verse 12 of chapter 2, in the second half of the verse, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Armenians changed that to work at, A-T, which is heresy, because once saved, always saved. You don't have to work at your salvation.
Right,
you're working out your salvation. Because when you get to that judgment seat of Christ, all what you've done will be run through the fire, and you can come out with, what is it, precious stones and gold and silver, or wood, hay, and stubble?
Right.
Verse 28 of chapter 2. Now, this is him talking about Epaphroditus, which is a fellow soldier and companion of Paul's. It says, verse 28, I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. So whenever he sent his helper out to Philippi, he's asking them to rejoice when they see him. Be happy when you see him. Now, how hard is it sometimes when somebody shows up at your door that you rejoice to see him sometime? Let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, it is not grievous, but for you it is safe. I'll read my footnote here on that. It says, the idea here is, it is not worrisome to me to tell you the same things over and over again that are essential. It is safe for you if they stick with you. In other words, yeah, I may be telling you the same thing over and over, but that's to help embed it in your mind. That's like trying to memorize a verse. You know, that's what he means. That was verse 1. Verse 3, it says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. There it is again about the flesh. Don't rely on anything from the flesh. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take that back. Chapter 4, not verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He's calling these people his joy and his crown because he helped get them saved. He helped them with starting their church. And so it's like to him, it's something he treasures, so to speak, his joy and his crown, his trophy. And in verse 4 of chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Through good times, through the trials, through the tribulations, before, during, and after the storm. Always rejoice in the Lord for what He's given you and what He helps you get through. Then finally, verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. See, the theme of Philippians is about joy and rejoicing in the Lord. Now, as far as applying to us, how can we today be spiritually filled with joy? And I'm going to tell you these, and if you want, you can write them down, because I'm going to challenge you to try these every day. First off, besides renewing your mind every day, would be to have a thankful heart or a thankful mindset for all the blessings that God's given you. Also, be a blessing to others. And sometimes, I mean, the one thing you got to think about is, don't think, am I going to get anything out of it if I help a person? I mean, because that's the main reason why a lot of people try to help others, because they feel like, or they want something out of it. Just try to be a blessing to others. I like how what Brother Josh says about, don't take my blessing from me. Like, he gave me an angel to ride home from Cherokee when that blue car of ours ran out of transmission fluid. And, you know, I was offered to pay him diesel money, not gas money. Well, gas money. But he said, don't take my blessing from me. Let me be a blessing to you. I said, I thank you. And I see why now. Think on the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're always supposed to be looking for the Lord. We're supposed to be listening for that trumpet. We're supposed to be ready to go at any given moment. We ought to live like that. Forget about the past. I mean, one thing I've learned, you know they say forgive and forget, yeah. But, I mean, it's also a lesson learned. Don't dwell. I mean, it's okay to, how did Jared put it? He said, it's okay to drive or take a stroll down memory lane. Just don't put up residence in memory lane. Because those that live in the past and all that, I mean, that's about where they stay. They can't progress. They can't grow. They can't move forward because of that. So forget about the past. Keep a contented mind or a mindset. Meaning, are you happy with where God puts you? I mean, yeah, we'll grow in the Lord, but are you currently happy with where God has you at now? Are you content with what you got? I mean, others may have more things, nicer things. And I was saying earlier this morning, yeah, those people, particularly lost people, this is the only heaven they're going to see. That's why all these lost people are so rich and they got all these nice cars, big houses, and this and that, because that's all they're going to get is them rewards from here. Not saying that the saved person is going to, per se, particularly be suffering and not be able to, you know, have things like that. It depends on what God decides to bless you with, which is essentially your needs, not your greeds. But yes, I'll go over them again. Have a thankful heart and mindset. Be a blessing to others. Think on the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Forget about the past. Keep a contented mind. And don't forget to renew your mind every day. Now, if you have bitterness in your heart you need to get rid of, the altar's open. And I do challenge you every day to remember those ways to spiritually fill yourself with joy, but always remember to renew your mind as well. All right. Well, that concludes.